It was well past dark when Christy caught up with the man on the odd machine. A gibbous moon hung like a madman's swollen face over the mountains far to the east, with wisps of cloud blowing across it, like lank black hair tossed by the wind. It illuminated another sorry straggle of blocky one-story buildings. These, half-ruined, slumped in on themselves as if eviscerated by fire. Here the railroad tracks, gleaming like silver inlay in the moonlight, twinned themselves for a ways. A line headed off northeast, bent dead east, and paralleled the original tracks for a stretch, then curved back to flow like a river tributary back into the main line. She had no idea what that was about. She was wary, nerves still jangled from adrenaline. As the day had drowned itself in a pool of scarlet fire in the west, she had sensed herself being watched. Ryan and JB harped on how a body should pay heed to such sensations. They would argue endlessly whether it was a kind of doomy sense every person had a touch of that alerted you, or whether it was just perceiving on a level below awareness the fixed attention of a pair of eyes, mounted side by side for a stereoscopic vision, that shouted carnivore. For the same reason, they both were big on not looking directly at somebody or thing you were spying on, lest it trigger the same instinctual alert in them. As well as she knew both men, she never really knew who stacked up on which side of the arguments. Maybe they switched. Anyway, it was nothing new to her. She was well aware of her own doomy sense. She'd learned to pay attention to it as a girl, and she never forgot. She was in the open, crossing the broad, flat floor of a sandy wash. No sooner had her sentient hair begun to rise off her neck and swish around her shoulders like the tail of a nervous beast than she unslung the M16, thumbed off the safety, and raised it to her shoulder. The blaster was an A2 model, made with an inhibitor that restricted full auto fire to 3-round bursts. At some point in the weapon's lengthy history, somebody had disabled that feature. Lining up the battle sights on a bush on the low bank 30 yards distant, Christy squeezed off a 6-round burst. She saw a jet of yellow ichor arc out from behind the bush. Something began to thrash madly on the ground behind it. Christy held down on the bush for a span, trying to keep breathing deeply and regularly as the commotion diminished. Then she marched on. She didn't sling the blaster again. It never occurred to her that whatever was subjecting her to covert scrutiny might not be a threat. Of course it was. At length, the sky and the land around her came again to mirror the darkness in Christie's soul. She trudged on. She was convinced the man would stop to rest. Somewhere she could catch up with him. She was right. Watching from a low hill above the rail junction, she saw a fugitive little flicker of yellow inside the best preserved of the ruins. A wisp of flame, not quite cautiously enough concealed. She stayed undercover, studying the assembly of sagging walls and rubble heaps. She saw no other sign of occupation. Her keen ears heard nothing at all but the never-ending hissing of the wind and the weird semi-regular creaking of something, a door or a sign, being blown back and forth on thoroughly rusted hinges. At last, she decided the man was alone. She slipped back down her hill, circled around to a point where her approach to where she had glimpsed the flame light would be masked by the bulk of other ruins. Knowing all too well the sorts of things that stalked the night, she made herself take care not to focus too closely on the nearness of her prey, despite the eagerness singing in her veins so loud it actually roared in her ears. She kept her confiscated M16 at the ready in her hands. The only reason she left the safety on was to prevent an accidental discharge if she stumbled. The moonlight was bright, but deceptive. It was as likely to hide treacherous footing as reveal it, especially up among the ruins where all manner of dreck littered the ground. Feeling naked, she crossed the open space and came in among the buildings. Slowly, she worked her way between them. They were so old, had been derelict so long, that they no longer stank of mold or decay or even char. They smelled only of the drifting desert dust, and here and there of the animals that had found convenient prefab dens among the black truncated walls. Once she heard motion inside a building, a skittering scrape. Shortly afterwards, something bolted out of a pile of unidentifiable weed-sprouted refuse and darted off into the scrub. Both times, she froze. Her fear wasn't so much for attack, as some creature disturbed might make a commotion sufficient to alert the man with the ponytail. But whatever she startled into action was as interested in escaping attention as she was.
Huh. Whistling.
Willing her muscles to relax, Knowing that tension-induced stiffness could betray her in a thousand ways, she moved toward the sound. She stopped, her heart feeling as if she'd just swallowed it. She moved again, up to the wall of the building where she'd seen the light. There were no windows on this side. She stopped again.
For the love of Gaia.
Christy realized the man was pausing now and again to listen. Probably not because he expected danger. Unlikely he'd be whistling at all if he did. But no doubt from long habit. Few people could remain at full red alert all the time, or care to. She shed her heavy pack and made a cautious circuit of the building. It was long and narrow. Some of the eastern end had fallen down. But perhaps because it had been built of actual adobe, treated by some pre-dark process to prevent the bricks being dissolved by the rains, the structure had mostly endured, showing far less damage than the cinder block buildings. In the center of the rear of the building, facing the track, there was a wide double door, hinged so that both halves swung outward. A breath-held touch, the slightest of pressure, told Christie's taut senses that the doors were barred from within. She ascertained this, making no more noise than the constant wind. This night, her friend and shield. She slipped down around the eastern end. The wall had collapsed enough to see within, but she couldn't see the man or his machine. Some kind of curtain had been hung to block light and sight from the occupied portion of the structure. Around the fringes, though, she could see the yellow glow of what she guessed for a lantern. She moved around to the front, stopping frequently, not just to listen for sign that the man had become aware of her, but to scan the surrounding night with eyes, ears, nose, and gut. Becoming too fixated on prey was a fine way to become it. If anything was stalking her, it was better at it than she was at detecting it. The front door was wood, intact, with the knob in place, and it was locked. There was a round metal key inlet above, indicating a deadbolt. The doorframe seemed solid, untouched by rot. Christy frowned, considering. While she carried little excess weight in the flushest times and had been pared down further by the exertions of the past few days, she had some mass to her. It wasn't impossible she could slam the door with enough force to break the bolts out of the wood frame, or more likely, rip loose the screws that held the hinges. But she couldn't afford so much as one failed attempt. It was all or nothing, because the noise of her hitting the door would alert her prey, allow him to set up an ambush, and just wait for her to come through. She went back to the east end. The wall had slumped enough to see over, therefore far enough to scramble over, hopefully without making too much racket. Holding her long blaster by the flash suppressor, she reached it over the wall, probed with the butt for major obstructions. Finding none, she let the blaster slide down to the floor, holding it by its sling. Then she flowed up and over with serpentine grace. She got her blue cowboy boots onto what seemed to be a concrete floor, drifted with an inch or two of sand. Taking up the rifle, she crouched, tried to soak in every detail of her immediate surroundings through the very pores of her skin. There didn't seem to be much except some heavy fallen-in roof beams that had been burned through in the middle. She stole forward, placing her boot heels deliberately and then rolling her weight onto the soles to minimize noise. She stopped yet again. She reached out to touch the barrier. It was some sort of dark plastic, stiff and brittle from cross-linking, hung from a beam overhead. She brought the long blaster up in front of her, hooked the left edge with the muzzle, swept it aside as she stepped through. The man inside had been whistling as he worked on his marvelous machine. It lay in the midst of the open floor, glinting like a metalloid spider in the light of a kerosene lamp. Whistle congealed in his throat. The man looked up at her with brown eyes made huge by the lenses of his glasses.
Shit!